Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for staying with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. And yes, I know, it's like a dream come true for you, isn't it? It certainly is for me, especially today, because today represents the 11th anniversary of our collaboration with Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Now, we've been doing this thing with Kiplinger for longer than that, not much longer. But she joined us in January of 1999, and she's been steadfast supporter and partner with us as a member of our brain trust ever since. Joan Pride, welcome back and happy anniversary, baby.
Well, thank you. I joined you in the last century.
Exactly. In the last millennia.
Yeah. The previous millennia. Oh, great. That
previous millennia.
Worse.
No.
Thanks.
But you were just a puppy in those days.
Yeah.
You were just
the puppy years.
You were just a pup, right?
Right.
Back in those days, you were just a foundling that we found out on a little street urchin that we found out on the street, and
right.
And we made you into what you are today, right?
If you think so, sure.
That's the story I'm sticking to,
yeah,
Joan.
Right.
Hey, Joan, it's good to have you back, and congratulations again, or I should say, thank you for all the steadfast support you've given us, Joan. One of the things that a lot of people might not think about is the way power works in Washington. Now, we've got these three branches of government, right? We've got the executive, the legislative, and the judicial systems. And they each have their own power, their own checks and balances, and we'd like to think that that's the way it works, but it doesn't really always slice that way, does it?
That's true.
We've got, the Congress can fudge a little bit over on the executives and wield a little power that's not as clearly delineated. And of course, we know about the judges legislating from the bench. But sometimes the executive branch gets tired of waiting on the legislative process, and they do things, don't they?
That's right.
What do they do?
Well, they make regulations.
Yeah.
And that's not always easy. That takes a long time, too. But it's easier than waiting for legislation in a lot of cases.
And so they get tired of waiting on legislation. And Joan, this is back when... This comes back to what we've talked about before about the way laws are made. And that once the bill is actually passed and signed into law, that's like putting one block down in the foundation of a building, because how that law is promulgated over time, as in the regulations you were talking about, that's really the heart of that law, isn't it?
Right, and you have to remember so many times, and I've seen this with the IRS, that Congress gives the IRS practically a tabula rasa, the very, very vague outlines that the IRS has to fill in with regulations. So the IRS a lot of times gets lambasted for things that weren't necessarily its fault, because it had got no direction from Congress on
the
details.
Right, and so they just did the best they could.
Right, and then people complain, and then Congress goes back and changes it again, which is fine, but they could have been clearer in the first place.
You know, there's actually an entity in the SBA called the Office of Advocacy.
Yes.
That George Bush beefed up.
That's a
up.
Great office.
It's a great office. But George Bush beefed that office up and gave it some extra power several years ago. And that organization is assigned the duty of looking at proposed laws.
Imagine, from other agencies, yeah.
Yes, and imagining what those might do to a small business, and then bringing that to the attention of Congress.
Yeah, what a concept.
How about that? And, of course, here's the other thing. They also have an ombudsman on the other end that when something gets through that hurts people that wasn't anticipated, he can actually go back. The ombudsman, he or she, can go back and can do something about that. But But I don't know about the other agencies. I just know that much about the SBA. But one of the classic examples, Joan, that we've seen lately of what you guys report on today, this week, with regard to the executive branch going around the legislative branch, to me is what the EPA did earlier this year with the CO2. Earlier, I should say, in 2009, with carbon dioxide.
Right.
They identified it. They listed it as a dangerous gas.
Yeah.
Which is basically cap and trade light. Would you agree with that?
Well, I don't know enough about it, but I'll go along with you.
well, that works. That works just as well, Joe.
I figured you'd like that.
Yeah, that works just. That's great, actually. Mm-hmm. No. Well, you know, obviously, cap and trade is the goal of cap.
I know what cap and trade is.
Yeah, the cap. Well, tell us what it is.
Well, it's basically the trading. If I guess your ability to pollute, shall we say, is sort of divided, it becomes a commodity.
Right.
If you're not polluting as much as the other guy, and you've not polluted up to your capacity, you can sell some of that capacity or trade it.
Right. You're given that. See, you made an excellent point there about the commodity thing, because what happens is with cap and trade, the government becomes the owner, de facto owner,
right,
by government fiat of all carbon, and that's what that would mean, all carbon emissions, whether it came out of your breath or your cow or your house or your factory, and they commoditize that, then they tell you, Joan, how much you should be able to use, and as you said, if you don't use as much, you can sell some of those little carbon units to somebody else.
To someone else who may need them, who's up to capacity.
Right, over capacity.
Right.
And you're capped at a certain level, and then you can trade them back and forth. Okay, so that's a whole new marketplace they're proposing. But because that hasn't been passed, one of the goals of that bill is to limit carbon emissions by the United States.
Yeah.
And so because that hasn't passed, that limiting hasn't happened, so now steps in the EPA to regulate carbon as a dangerous gas. Now, folks, Joan, you'll notice I didn't make any observations one way or the other. I'm just using this as, to me, it's a
you're really controlling yourself.
It's a fascinating example, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't it a perfect example of what you guys are reporting this week?
It's regulation.
Yeah, regulation, not waiting on legislation.
Right, right.
And there's another one that you guys report on, ergonomics.
That's right.
Oh. And I want you to talk about that when we come back after these messages.
Okay.
Fascinating stuff that you get only with the Kiplinger editors. And when they team up with the Small Business Advocate Show, it's over the top. 20 after. Stay with us.
Everybody's had the blues.
Welcome back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks for hanging out with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you for checking it out and using it to your advantage so that you can have the maximum opportunity to be successful. We built a lot of all the things there are just for you. Some things that you'll find things there, folks, that aren't anywhere else. And, of course, you got access to our 1,500-plus Brain Trust members, the largest community of small business experts in the world, right there on the Small Business Advocate website. Put a .com on the end of that, smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter, check out my blog, and we'll follow you home with any of that stuff. Just tell us what you want. We'll follow you home with it. And, of course, if you're on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blasingame, if you'd like to follow me. Joan Pride is with us. She's our guest, and we're celebrating her 11th anniversary as a member of our Brain Trust. And, Joan, we're talking about the executive branch being impatient with the legislative process and using the agencies that they actually command, right? They have control of these agencies.
Right.
The EPA, the OSHA, education, whatever it might be, they have control over that. Those people work at the pleasure of the president.
That's right.
And so he can say, okay, this is what I want you to do, or he can say, I'm tired of waiting on the Congress. What can we do to make my goals happen?
Yeah.
Outside of legislation, and so they passed regulations,
right.
And we talked earlier about CO2 becoming a dangerous gas by EPA, which went around the legislative process. Do you remember, Joan, back in one of the first things you and I talked about, the very first thing we talked about along these lines was the Clinton administration trying to get ergonomic requirements assessed on home base people who are working at home, teleworkers.
Well, I remember that very well because I actually covered labor at the time and I had to cover that.
And you were an example of who they were talking about.
I was.
Because you worked at home sometimes.
I did.
Remember that? Yeah, you don't remember? Yeah, of course you were. Sometimes you stayed home and you worked from home.
Okay.
Well, back in those days, if they had passed that law, the Kiplinger folks would have had to gone to your house and made sure that your work environment was ergonomically correct.
Well, I think that only applied to people who worked from home a certain amount.
Okay.
You know, below a certain amount, it wouldn't apply.
Well, that's fine. But, I mean, but still, that could have happened any day, right? You could have, there were a lot of reasons that could have applied to you. But anyway, that was going on in those days, and they're resurrecting it again now, aren't they?
That's right. Now, nothing says that Congress couldn't stop this, but it's not necessarily going to happen either.
No, not with the current scenario, it's not.
Right.
I prefer to say Congress slapped them back. That's what I prefer to say. Let's not stop them. Let's slap them back. But so that's the ergonomics thing. But you guys also point out that another thing that the executive branch may be going around is the card check bill, the unionizing bill, with some of the things that they're trying. You guys report on that this week, too.
Right. And we do say much of the new regulatory activity does involve unions because labor's agenda in Congress really hasn't been moving ahead.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so pay attention to what Joan just said, folks. Congress's the president's agenda is not moving fast enough through Congress with regard to cap and trade. So we got regulating carbon as a dangerous gas, not as good on some of the stuff that OSHA wants. So they're gonna impose ergonomic rules through the back door, as Kiplinger points out.
Right.
And not moving fast enough on the card check bill. So they're going to do things like you guys report that they're going to delay elections so that they can put a little extra pressure on members, on employees to unionize.
Right.
So these are all things. On this ergonomics thing, Joan, one of the things that this particular thing, though, is not like the Clinton administration. I want to point that out. This particular thing is not, I don't think they're trying to resurrect the home-based or the teleworking thing, right? I mean, that's not what we're saying.
I don't think so. I don't know a lot about it, but I don't think so.
Well, I just want to point out that that's not what... Yeah. I was using that as an example. I didn't want people to think that that's what they're trying to do right now.
Right.
So, also consumer protection, Joan, for financial agencies. That's another thing you guys point out.
Right.
There's this big push through Congress. They grilled the bankers yesterday, and they're going to probably impose some kind of consumer protections on the financial industry. But
right.
That's not moving fast enough. You guys pointed out that they're doing working on that too. What are they trying there?
Well, Congress is talking about sort of creating a new agency because the Fed, they feel, should have helped consumers more than it did.
Mm-hmm.
So this is pretty controversial, though. The idea is to create a separate consumer agency.
Right.
And that's going to take a while in Congress, and the Fed is going to try to get around it by improving its consumer protection record.
Right. But you guys point out that this may be another way that the executive branch can go around the controversy and the legislative process, and of course they won't avoid the controversy.
Right.
But they can
exactly.
sort of sidestep all this.
Yeah.
So folks, you know, the thing to remember is elections matter. Whichever side of the fence you're on this thing, elections do matter, and there is something that bully pulpit has got a lot of weapons in it. So, you know, whoever's in the White House, they got a lot more power than you might think. And especially,
I think we've also learned, and this is true not just in this administration, but in previous administrations, Just because the president and Congress are all in the same party doesn't mean Congress is going to rubber stamp what the president wants.
Well said, Joe. Good point. Quick break. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.